Amen. All right, you may be seated. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to Jonah chapter 1, feel free to use the table of contents. It's hidden kind of in the middle of the Old Testament, so feel free to use the table of contents for that. And as you're turning there, let me just point out, look what God is doing through you. Okay? Like look what God is doing through you. This is our first, second service that... Like, I know it sounds kind of funny, but our first, second service, first time we're doing two services in quite some time, and all of it's to accommodate growth. You know, that second time, we had gotten to the point where we were having a hard time just fitting people in. And so we've gotten creative and trying to do this second worship service. And in a time where churches, at least across the Southern Baptist Convention of Oklahoma, where churches are declining at a 2% rate per year on average, our church has been growing about 10% every year. And so we give the Lord glory for that. And it's through you guys. It's through your efforts. That's something to get excited about. And I applaud you. I applaud you for working hard and for making things like these happen. So every week we talk about our mission statement. We talk about why it is that we exist. It's important for us to be reminded, but also important for guests to see why we exist. And so we want to say that Skychook First exists to connect people to Jesus, His truth, His family, and His mission. And church, what's our primary strategy in connecting people? Small groups. And so if you're interested in a small group Bible study, right outside these doors on the wall, on this back wall, there all of our groups are listed in the times and locations in which they meet. So if you're interested, we hope that you get involved in that. So we're starting a new series in Jonah. And the question is, why Jonah? You know, why is God leading us to do Jonah? Well, a few reasons. In Jonah, we get a clear picture of the gospel. We get a clear picture of the gospel. We see not only a nation, not only a culture, not only a city that is entrapped with sin, but we also see the individual. We also see Jonah, the prophet, who rebels against God. And so we see a picture of sin, but we also see a picture of God's overwhelming grace. Okay, in fact, you can't get away from God's grace in Scripture. On one page, you see the consequence for our sin, the wrath of God poured out on sin. The very next page, you see God's grace being poured out, and Jonah is not the exception. We'll see that here. Also, we're going to see God's love for a city. Nineveh, the city that Jonah is called to go proclaim the gospel to, they're a city that's hostile towards things of God. They're a ruthless city. They're a sinful city, and we see that God has a heart for such places. Can I tell you that today, by the time our morning worship is over from both services, we're going to have some 500 to 600 people in worship here at Skychook First, which represents 5 to 6% of the population of Skychook. I don't think it's any stretch of the imagination that we are the largest church in the city. But listen, if you take all the other churches combined, I think it would be a very generous estimate to estimate that 20% of the population of the city of Skychook is represented in churches all across our city today. You know what that means? That by very generous guess is that 80% of our population is not in church anywhere this morning. 6,000 people, 6,500 people will not be anywhere this morning worshiping the living God. But you know what? God has put us here in this city. God is doing great things in this city, and not just our city, but the outlining areas. God has brought us to this place so that we can push back the darkness through Him working in us. And I believe that we're going to see that number decline, those outside of church, as a result of what God is doing, not only in our church, but all churches across our city. And the title of our sermon that we're going through, this series, is we're entitling it Ready for Revival. Ready for Revival. In five weeks from today, we're going to have a revival for our church. 4 days of preaching and worship, beginning October 14th, running through October 17th, that I hope that you all take time to participate and commit to. Ready for Revival. When you think of revival, your mind probably goes to Billy Graham crusades, where Billy Graham would come and preach, maybe at a tent, or someplace around the city, maybe a convention center, and just a mass of people would come to the Lord and give their life to the Lord. When you think of revival, you probably think of lots of people coming to Christ. And listen, that's true, but I would argue that the reason that happens is not because a sermon is preached in a particular location at any given time, but it is that God's people were prepared before the message was even brought, so that hearts would be ready. You know, the prince of preachers, Charles Spurgeon, preached in England a couple hundred years ago, and masses would come. It was a church, it was a time when there weren't mega churches, yet he had a mega church, and pastors would come and talk to him and say, What makes you so successful? Why do you have a church that's full and multiple services that are full every week? What's your secret? And Charles Spurgeon would take those who were curious down to the basement, which was underneath the pulpit, where on any given Sunday there would be hundreds of people underneath his feet praying that God would do a great work. You see, before revival happens in the culture, before God pushes back the darkness in the culture, He first pushes back the darkness in the church. And so what we're talking about is how we as Christians can prepare for revival, how we can prepare for a great movement of God. And so that's why Jonah, because we're going to see all of that here. And so if you found Jonah chapter 1, if you're ready and you're able, if you would stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.' But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God. And they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.' Verse 7, and they said to one another, 'Come on, let's cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And then they said to him, 'Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is this? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?' And he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.' Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, 'What is this you've done?' For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then they said to him, 'What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?' For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you.' Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they called out to the Lord, 'O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not on us the innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you.' They picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." This is the reading of God's Word. You may be seated. So this morning I've got one point. All right? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking we're going to get out early, and maybe we will, maybe we won't. But listen, I've got one point. One point. And here it is. Revival begins with God's people. Revival starts with the church. Okay, if you look at verse 1 with me, look what it says. Verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." Now we don't know a whole lot about Jonah other than the four chapters here. Jesus in the New Testament will talk about Jonah a little bit, but there's only one other scripture in the Bible that mentions Jonah, and it's in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. Listen to what it says. It says, "He," talking about the king of Israel, "restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the Sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who is from Gath-Hepher." Now, the only other mention of Jonah in Scripture is in 2 Kings. And it was a time where the king of Israel was doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. And what happened was the Syria and Assyria, they began to press in on Israel and they began to invade Israel. And it was a time where people were afraid. What's going to happen to our country? What's going to happen to us? At one time, we were the powerhouse. Now the other nations seem to be stronger than us and they're invading. And Jonah stood up and he said, "I've got a word from God for us. God's going to restore our borders and he's going to push back the enemy." And that happened. The borders of Israel were established to what they were years before when Solomon was king. And it was a time of celebration within the nation of Israel, at the word of Jonah the prophet. You see, Jonah, he would have been a celebrity. In a religious culture where there was idol worship going on, but there was also the worship, still the worship of the one true God. And it was a time in a religious culture where Jonah stood up and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And when it came to pass, he became a celebrity, became a hero, if you will, because it was at his voice that things were restored. At his word that things were restored. You see, he wasn't just some chump that God came to one day and said, go to this nation and take him the gospel. You see, he was one that followed the Lord when the king was evil and didn't follow the Lord, he remained faithful. And so he represented the church. He represented the people of God. But look what happens in verse 2. Where the Lord came to Jonah, verse 2 says, "Arise," here's what God said. God said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Instead of going up to Nineveh, he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare and went down into it to go to them with Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. You know, I think we relate to Jonah, or at least I do as a pastor, because there's certain things that I like saying yes to the Lord about. You know, like God will say, "Do this," or I'll read in His Word, "Do this," or "Be about that." And I'll say, "Yeah, that's great." And so we say yes, 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 until God says to do something we don't want to do. And we're like Jonah, because Jonah, when God said, "Hey, tell my people that I'm about to restore things," he was all about that. But God says, "Go to evil Nineveh, the enemy." By the way, the ones that will one day invade you and carry you into captivity, go to them and tell them to repent. Jonah didn't want to do that, and so he said no. And I will argue that we are Jonah. And so we love it when God shows up. We love it when we have a packed house. We love it when we're growing. We love it when we're baptizing. When people are coming to know the Lord. When great things are happening. We love that. What about when God calls you to serve? And listen, I'm not talking about those who have the gift of service. Like, you know, like whenever there's an opportunity, you're the one that salivates. You're like, "Oh yeah, I'm all about service." Like, I'm not talking about you. What about you that are timid? Or don't feel like you have enough time? Or you're shy? Or don't feel like you're talented? What about when God says for you to serve? See, service is not for the elect few. Service is for every believer. It is God's desire and our desire as a church that every one of us serve in some capacity every week. We give an hour of service to the Lord, an hour of worship to the Lord, an hour of small groups to the Lord every week. About tithing. God says, this is what you're to do, this is what you're to be about. You are to tithe. We might want to do it if the bank account's in the black. What happens if we're just making our payments, we're just getting by? It's my money. I mean, I worked hard for that. What about that? What about like last week when it said, don't give up meeting together, but be in God's house for worship? What about when we have other things that we'd rather do? We say yes to the Lord. What about sharing the gospel? The one thing that Jesus told his followers to do before he ascended into heaven was to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that was commanded. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Like some of us, we're like, oh, I'm the teaching side of that. Someone else is the share the gospel side of that. God calls us all to that. So what happens? You know, we can say yes to the Lord when it comes to this, or yes to the Lord when it comes to that, but what about the times that He says do this? We don't want to. Jonah said no, and we are Jonah. Because we do, I do. The question is, what happens? What happens when we say no to God? What will God do to Jonah? Look at verse 4. The Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the sea, the ship, threatened to break up. I love this. God doesn't allow Jonah to run far. But he sends a storm. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid. This is how you know God's a Texas Ranger fan, because he says the mariners are afraid, right? He makes the mariners afraid. Verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in them in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah had gone down the inner part of the ship and laid down fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, what do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps that God will give a thought to us that we may not perish. So this storm's up, and you know, I kind of imagine like this hurricane, you know, the hurricane on the eastern seaboard that's just beating the eastern coast up. Maybe it's not that bad, but I mean, it's a horrible storm to Jonah. And the guy's asleep. He's asleep in the bottom of the boat. You know, several years ago, after Randy and I had first gotten married, I'm kind of the type guy that I'll run hard after something for a little bit. And it happened to be fishing during this one particular year. And so we were fishing. Every chance we get, we'd go fishing. And I remember one time, I think it was a holiday weekend, we got done with Sunday morning worship. We weren't doing anything that afternoon or night. And so we hopped in the car, drove over to Altus to Lake Lugert. And I don't know if you've been to Western Oklahoma, if you spent much time there, but the wind never stops. Okay? Like a calm day, in Western Oklahoma, the wind is still in double digits. Okay? And like this happened to be a particular day where the wind was blowing like 20 to 30 mile an hour. And we debated on whether or not to go, because who likes fishing when it's like that? But someone who had already gone had called us and said, hey, we found this place in the rocks where the wind's not blowing very hard. And so what we did was we hopped in a boat. And we're like hopping over the waves to get to this. It's Quartz Mountain in the Lake Lugert, Quartz Mountain. And so we park the boat and tie it off on the rocks. And we hike over this little mountain down into this little cove. And the wind wasn't blowing. Okay? And so we fish. And so it's getting dark. And so we're like, okay, we better leave. So like eight or ten of us, got in this little bitty boat to go back. And the wind's still blowing 90 miles an hour or whatever it is. And so we're hopping the waves across the lake, and by now it's pitch black, and we can see the light from the dock, and that's how we know where we're going. And so we didn't have a light on the boat, and so we're trying to get to the dock, and in the boat, we're in the middle of the lake, and the boat dies. Okay? Which is okay, except one of our friends that was with us was 9 months pregnant And that's when I started flipping out a little bit. Okay? Because here I am, the boat had turned sideways. Now the waves are kind of going over. Like we're not worried that we're going to sink. I'm worried that the woman's going to go in labor. Okay, there's a fear for me because I see the light and we're drifting further. We're drifting back to where we came from. And there's this moment of panic because I'm thinking, what's going to happen? Like Jonah is so far removed from the will of the Lord that's not even a concern for him. Like he's asleep in the bottom of the boat. And God sends this storm, and it doesn't even bother him. His heart has grown so cold to the things of the Lord, he's not even concerned, not even worried. Verse 7 says this, "They said to another, the mariners, 'Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What's your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? What is your people?' And he said to them, 'I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land.'" You know what's been haunting me all week? Jonah's response. The man who knew and loved God, who said no to God and now is on the run, his response was, "I fear the Lord." All week I've been thinking, really? I mean, really? To fear the Lord is to respect the Lord, is to honor the Lord, is to obey the Lord, is to listen for the Lord, is to follow the Lord, is to be about the Lord. Like that's, if you can encompass a total follower of Christ, you can put it in that phrase, that I fear the Lord, that I follow the Lord. And Jonah's response when they ask who he is, his response is, I'm one that follows the Lord. Led me to question, is Christian just a title for us? Because it seemed to be for Jonah. Who are you? I'm one that fears the Lord. You see, Jonah had been fooled by his past. You see, he was a prophet. He was God spoke to him at one point. He knows the right answers. God made heaven. God made land. God made all this. He knows the answers. But his heart is far from the Lord. Jonah's fooled by his past. Are we? Are we fooled by our past? Because at some point we prayed a prayer, or at some point we were baptized, or at some point we walked an aisle, or at some point we came to Bible study, maybe even now, at some point we walked with the Lord. Do we now? Because listen, revival won't come. God pouring out His hand in a way that we cannot explain other than God did it. Revival doesn't come. It won't come before the church is revived. So the question becomes, how do we know? How do we know where we are in this? How do we know if we fear the Lord, if we really do, or we're like Jonah and we just say it? How do we know if we're following Christ now or we're just saying it? It's a title only. How do we know? Question is, what do we do with the word? You see, in verse 1 it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he did the opposite. What do we do? What do we do with the word? This tells us if we fear the Lord. This tells us if we love the Lord. This tells us if we respect the Lord. This tells us if we walk with the Lord. What do we do with his word? What do we do with his word when it comes to marriage? When he says, husbands, this is the way you're to love and treat your wife. What do we do with that? Wives, to respect and honor and love and submit to your husband. What do we do with that? When it says to raise your kids like this, when it says to talk about the Lord, when it says all the things that Scripture says, that's not here just to keep us in check, but to help us to get to a joyful life. What do we do with that? Because that tells us if we're title only, or if we actually fear the Lord. Listen, we want God to bring revival to culture. We want God to heal and to renew marriages and to push back addictions and to save and to do incredible things. And we'd love for this time next year to say that only 75% of the population or 70% of the population is not in church on any Sunday because what God's doing in this place. We would love for that to happen. But listen, before God brings revival to the culture. He brings revival to the church. And so God sends a storm. And I've always thought about, whenever I think about this, I've always pictured God being angry here. Right? Oh, Jonah's not going to listen. I'll show him. And really, that translated into how I viewed God just day to day. Oh, he didn't get up for Bible study. He didn't spend time with me in his word. I'm going to give him a flat tire. That'll teach him. And like we treat God like that. That he's angry at us, that we've got to do the right thing, or he's waiting with a lightning bolt in heaven to just smack our lives if we don't do every little thing right. He's an angry God. But I submit to you that the storm is not God's wrath, but his mercy. Jonah, I'm not going to let you run. I love you too much to run, to let you run. And so I'm going to send a storm and it's going to be uncomfortable for a little bit. I'm going to send a fish and it's going to be uncomfortable for a little bit, but I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to call you back. You're not getting away from me. Like a tender father who lovingly pursues his children when they're out of bounds. Such is our God. See that here. Scripture says that he loves, that he disciplines those he loves. And you see, Jonah's heart has become so callous because he said no to God that God sends a storm. Listen, if you're his child and he says do this, don't do this, and you say no. And listen, I'm not talking about just with your mind or with your mouth. I'm talking about by the way we live our lives. If God says to walk in this way, and we're like, I'm going to walk in this way. If you are God's child, listen, when the word doesn't work, when you don't listen, when you ignore the Spirit, he will send a storm, but it's always out of love. He doesn't let us run. So listen, maybe you're like Jonah this morning. Maybe you found yourself in the middle of a storm. Maybe it's in your marriage, or maybe it's in your parenting, or maybe it's at work. Maybe it's a whole host of things. Maybe God has sent a storm. Listen, some storms happen because we run. Some storms just happen because we live in a sinful world. Listen, whatever the case, Christ longs to revive. My belief is that God is going to revive our city and renew some of us. My belief is God is going to revive our school. He's going to use some of our students. But listen, before that happens, he's got to revive us here today. Revival starts with the church. So maybe you're like Jonah and you're in this storm. Christ is the answer. Or maybe you're like the Mariners. Maybe you're like the Mariners and you just happen to be wrapped up in something because of someone else. Look at verse 14. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. The Mariners did. They had hearts far from the Lord, but they're calling out to him, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Laid on in us the innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. They picked Jonah up, throwed him in the sea. Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. They offered a sacrifice to the Lord and they made vows to the Lord. See, these men who were just going about their business heard the gospel through a broken man. Heard that there is a God of the land and the sea. And I know they walked away committed to Christ as a result of this. And so maybe you're here, maybe you're like the Mariners and you don't know Christ, but you're hearing him for the first time. I want to invite you to give your life to him today. So I'm purposefully shutting down a minute or two early because I want to give us a chance to pray. Okay? If revival starts with the church, that means it's got to start with you and me because we are the church. So we're going to break down and we're going to enter into a time of invitation. And what I want to do is I want to give us a chance to pray. There'll be men and women here ready to pray with you. You can come pray as a family, you can pray as an individual. You can kneel here at this makeshift altar. There's nothing special about these steps or these chairs in front that we sometimes bow and pray there, but it's a posture of our hearts and lives to the Lord's name. We're going to bow in front of Him. You can pray at your seat. You can pray standing. You can pray seated. But here's what I want to ask you to pray about. Number one, that God would revive your heart. I'm going to be praying that God would revive mine. Number two, that God would revive us collectively as a church. And the third thing we want to pray is that our community would be impacted. God, listen. And some of you that are wrestling with saying no to God, listen. God will always, we're going to see this next week, God always brings you back to the place you said no to Him if you're His child. He always brings you back to that place you said no, so you'll say yes before he grows you and does incredible things in you. Maybe you've said no to the Lord this week in something specific, or maybe it was a year ago or a decade ago. God's bringing you that to your mind. Repent. All repentance is I'm going this direction away from the Lord, but now I'm going to repent and align my life back underneath the Lordship of Christ. That's what God's leading you to do. You take care of business. Don't leave here today without saying yes to the Lord. Let's pray. God, I pray that You will use our time, the rest of our time, to cry out to You. God, help us to be faithful in this time. God, use this invitation, this time of response, for us to pray that our own hearts would be revived, to pray that each other, for our church, would be revived, and to pray for our community, pray for Sky too, that it would be revived. God, we love You and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.